If you will, please turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 8. Again, that is Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 8. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the desert, in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when he comes, for its leaves remain green and it is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit.
Well, if somebody was ever really nervous about preaching, this is the time where you really don't want to try it. Throw in a lot of extra variables. That's usually a good good recipe for preaching success right there. Well, I sure appreciate everybody for being here. I know there's a number of you who are back in person for the first time in several months. It's a joy to see you. Absolutely is a joy to see you. Unfortunately, you've been stuck seeing my face for all these months through the live stream, but it's your beautiful faces that I've really, really missed most of all. So I'm so glad that you're here. I'm glad that we're together worshiping. I'm glad that we have two opportunities on Sunday for our members to come and worship in a way that they believe is safe and comfortable. And I'm glad that we're still working, that we're still thriving. We're still moving forward as a congregation. That's the most important part, is to not look at 2020 and just kind of go, well, what a wasted year. That was just a junk year. Just toss that away. No, it doesn't have to be a wasted year. I think 2020 is a year where all of us had a lot of things that we could learn. A lot of things that we could learn, whether it's physical things like taking care of ourselves and our health and taking precautions when it comes to viruses and germs. Or I think learning lessons about brotherhood and sharing that brotherhood with people who have strongly different opinions than you. I think there's a lot of things that our church needed to learn this year and a lot of good lessons that we're going to walk away from. So 2020 is not a wasted year. Don't ever view it that way. This was the year that God gave us, and let us use it and rejoice in it and be glad in it. Have your Bibles, first of all, open to the book of Isaiah chapter 2. We're going to notice here one phrase from a verse in Isaiah chapter 2 where the title of this lesson comes from. Because don't worry, the title of this lesson does not come from having to wear your mask in church. The title of this lesson comes from a phrase in Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 22. Notice this passage here. Isaiah 2, verse 22. And by the way, we're going to bookend our sermon with this passage. So at the end of the lesson, we're actually going to come back to Isaiah 2 and look at the entire context, right? So if this verse seems a little bit out of context, it is, and it will all make sense by the end of the lesson, I promise you. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 22 says, "Stop regarding man whose breath of life is in his nostrils, for why should he be esteemed?" What an interesting way to describe the value of esteeming and trusting in man. His breath is in his nostrils. Other ways you could put it is, he's a mere human being, and that's all. Flesh and blood, that's all he is. You know, we are here for a short time. Our bodies are animated with the Spirit from God for a short time. And then they die and they return to the dust from whence they came. Our life is in our nostrils. We're not gods. We're not meant to be idols or idolized. For as heroic and courageous as we can be at times, we're also cowardly and weak and fearful. For as faithful as we can be at times, it's amazing how faithless man can also be. For as great as we are, and for as much as we might love each other, we sure drive each other crazy sometimes. So why should you regard man, trust in man, fear man, exalt man, honor man, whose life is just in his nostrils, just breath passing from his lungs out. One of the great themes of the Bible is the contrast that you see between fearing God and fearing our fellow humans. And I want to be clear about something just up front. I'm going to use the word man a lot in this lesson as it's used in the scriptures. Let's understand, I'm not talking about men specifically, men as a gender, or that men are the only ones who have something to learn. I'm using the word man in the all-inclusive sense of it. Man being mankind or humanity, men and women included in that. But you can see in Jeremiah chapter 17, for example, the way the writer contrasts trust in man and trust in God. This was our scripture reading just a few moments ago, but I want to reread it so that we can make sure that we're fully acquainted with the passage. In Jeremiah 17 and verse 5, it says, "Cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord, for he'll be like a bush in the desert. And he'll not see when prosperity comes, but will live in stony wastes in the wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitant." Contrasted so starkly with that is verse 7 and 8. "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord." I like that, by the way. I don't know if I have a satisfactory explanation for that, by the way, but I've always liked the way that that's put. That not only do you trust in the Lord, but your trust is the Lord. He is actually the substance of your trust. He goes on to say in verse 8 here, "He will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green and it will not be anxious in a year of drought nor cease to yield its fruit." So clearly from this passage as well as others, we're told, don't fear man, don't trust man, don't exalt man, don't honor man, don't put man on a pedestal. But are there exceptions to this? Is this just a zero-sum equation? The idea of a zero-sum equation, if you're not familiar with it, is that in order for something to gain, something else has to lose. That there's only so much money or gold or honor or whatever you want to go around, and for one to gain, another must lose. So when it comes to honor or trust, is it a zero-sum game? Or is it all or nothing at all? Like, if I trust in God, then I can't have any trust in man whatsoever. It is either 100% trust in God with 0% trust in man, or 100% trust in man with 0% trust in God. Is that what we're talking about here when we talk about fear or trusting or honoring man? Well, surely not. Because there are other passages that command us to fear, honor, and exalt man. For example, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17, we are clearly told in this passage to honor the king, that we need to give high esteem to those who are in authority over us. In Romans chapter 13, verse 7, in a passage that we typically talk about with regard to taxation and the authority of government, it says, "Tax to whom tax is due, honor to whom honor is due, and fear to whom fear is due." We need to give special preference to our brethren in all honor in Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. We respect and honor our spouses and our family members. Of husbands and wives, it says that in Ephesians chapter 5. Of children to their parents in chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 of Ephesians. So clearly there are passages that say you can trust in man and you can honor man and you can fear man. So when we read in Jeremiah chapter 17 and he says, "Cursed is the man who trusts in mankind," what is he really talking about there? With the rest of our lesson, I want to take a look at three things that I think are indicators or symptoms that you might be trusting, fearing, or exalting man in a way that is inappropriate, in a way that fits this description that we find in Jeremiah chapter 17. So what does it look like when I exalt or fear or honor man in a way that is inappropriate? Well, first lesson is this. When we exalt him above his pay grade, mankind has always had a tendency to elevate itself above its pay grade, so to speak. I think you all understand that term when I when I talk about that term. When you view yourself above your pay grade, what you're really saying is, I'm right here in terms of my education or in terms of my authority in a system of some kind or my rank in the military, but I'm going to act like I'm all the way up here, like I'm above my pay grade. Now, it started with the very first temptation, all the way back in Genesis chapter 3. Do you remember at the heart of the temptation that the serpent offers to Eve? It wasn't just that Eve wanted to eat a piece of fruit that looked good, because there were plenty of other pieces of fruit that looked just fine in the Garden of Eden. At the heart of it, what the serpent was saying to Eve was, you can be just like God. Ooh, that's a temptation, isn't it? If you eat this fruit, you can be just like God. You can know things that only God knows. You can think things that only God thinks. You can have a level of knowledge or mastery or power. You can be like God if you eat this fruit. That is elevating yourself above your pay grade. And it continues today every time we become just a little bit too impressed with how clever we are. Now, on a societal level, that's true. We think we're an awfully clever society, don't we? But everything has come to just a grinding halt because of a virus you can't even see with your own eyes, right? You can't even see it. You can't even see this threat with the naked eye. But for as clever as we are, here we are. Come to a grinding halt as a society. And I think we just kind of elevate ourselves, just mankind in general, on a societal level, every time we're just kind of a little too impressed with how clever we are. Now, this happens on an individual level as well, when you think that you're a little too smart for your own good. I think a great passage that illustrates this whole idea is in Romans chapter 1. And notice here, if you will, in Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 21... the Apostle Paul writes this to the Romans. He says, for even though they knew God, they didn't honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they actually became fools. Now that tends to happen, right? Because here's the problem is, when you start elevating yourself above your pay grade, you start getting into areas where you don't actually have any expertise. The water's too deep, right? You're in the deep end of the pool when it comes to things you don't really understand. And professing to be wise, you actually make yourself out to be a fool. It goes on to say in verse 23, they exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. And you know, we laugh at that. We go, at least we don't practice idolatry anymore. I mean, how stupid is that, you know? Like, I'm gonna worship a bird, or I'm gonna worship a bear, or I'm gonna worship the sun. You know, I suppose some of those like Bronze Age idolaters might look at our lives and make fun of us and say, well, at least I don't worship a little tiny black brick. Your cell phone is what I'm talking about. That was meant to be a joke. That came across not nearly as funny as I thought it would. But I suppose that a lot of those Bronze Age idolaters would look at our lives and have plenty of commentary on the way that we live today as well. So be careful not to make fun of other people's idolatry just because yours happens to be packaged a little bit more conveniently than theirs. Verses 24 and 25, so God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity, that their bodies might be dishonored among them. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Remember not to give yourself or your enemies or the people that you idolize too much credit. They're just human beings like you. Whether they're amazing athletes or influencers on social media or powerful people in the government or just somebody you've got a crush on or somebody who you really respect at work, don't give humanity too much credit. Don't give humanity too much credit. I'm going to read a couple of verses here real quick, and then we'll move on to our next point. Go back to the book of Isaiah. And notice Isaiah 51, verses 12 through 13. And we'll read these passages pretty quickly because they all kind of serve to prove the same point. In Isaiah chapter 51, it says in verses 12 and 13, he says, "I, even I, am the one who comforts you. Who are you that you are afraid of man? Man who dies. Why are you afraid of the Son of Man, who's like grass? That you've forgotten the Lord your Maker, who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, that you fear continually all day long because of the fury of the oppressor as he makes ready to destroy. But where is the fury of the oppressor?" I think this is very similar. This is a passage that's up here on the screen at the end in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Remember where Jesus reminds us, why should you be afraid of the one who can kill the body only? Really, you should be afraid of the one who can kill the body as well as the soul in eternal hellfire. Notice Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 6 in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6 says, "So that we may confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" Now, a second point, another symptom that you might be exalting mankind, trusting, fearing, honoring him in a way that is inappropriate, is when you're gullible about the dangers. I think when we idolize people, we tend to only see the good things about them. I don't think that's any kind of revolutionary statement, is it? Right? You idolize someone, you only see the good things. Your favorite actor, your favorite athlete, your favorite politician. Again, even somebody that you're romantically involved with, someone you've got a crush on at school, right? All you see is the good stuff, the things that you want to see. And you kind of make yourself a little gullible about the dangers with that person as well. Now, here's the analogy that I hope will leave an impression on you. There's a reason I put the tigers up there, right? There's a reason why I bring that up. To me, trusting in mankind in the Jeremiah 17 way is a lot like people who have like exotic pets. And then you read in the news like man has 13 tigers and they killed him and ate him. And you're like, yeah, no doy, right? Like the guy, like when you own tigers and they kill you and eat you, like everyone else is going like, yeah, of course they did. You're like, you've got a 25-foot python in your house, like, and it killed you. To me, it's like owning exotic animals. That is what trusting in mankind is when you idolize people or you honor them and you exalt them or you fear them, you're afraid of them because you don't really recognize what they really are. You don't recognize their actual status in God's eyes. And I'll tell you what, my friends, there are a lot of dangerous characters out there. There are a lot of dangerous characters out there. There are unreliable people and unfaithful people and unsteady people. There are tricksters and hypocrites, and there are people out to get you. Stop being naive about mankind. There's a lot of bad people out there. The book of Proverbs brings this out. Notice a couple of passages from the book of Proverbs. Start here in chapter 29, Proverbs 29, it says in verse 25 of this passage, "The fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted." I like that. The fear of man brings a snare. There's trouble in fearing man. There's trouble in trusting in man. Go back a few pages to chapter 24, verses 1 and 2. "Do not be envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them, for their minds devise violence, and their lips talk of trouble." Go back to chapter 10, verse 27, Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 27. It says, "The fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be shortened." And I think you could also say when you trust in those who are wicked. In fact, go back a single verse to verse 26. Here's another one that I really like. And I just saw on the page and reminded me how much I liked it. In verse 26 of chapter 10, it says, "Like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy man to those who send him." In other words, untrustworthy people are always going to bite you in the end. They're always going to get you in the end. Now, some people are exactly who they appear to be. That's what Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 24. He said, "The sins of some men are quite evident going before them to judgment." I've always liked that because, you know, some people are exactly who they appear to be on the outside. The sins of some are evident. They go before them. Their reputation for sin precedes them. Some people are exactly what they appear to be. A biblical example would be Abimelech from Judges chapter 9. And we don't have time here to talk about that in this lesson. But in Judges chapter 9, Abimelech is one of the sons of Gideon. Now, he's not a legitimate son of Gideon. He's one of the sons by Gideon's concubines, which is maybe a great lesson to learn about having concubines and many, many wives and everything like that. So Abimelech has kind of, he's got a chip on his shoulder because he's not one of Gideon's legitimate sons. So he goes to the people of Shechem, his mother's relatives, and he says, "All right, here's the deal, folks. I'll offer you a deal." And the sons of Gideon can't offer you a better deal. "You can either let me be your king," right? Just me, little old Abimelech, "or you can let the 70 sons of Gideon rule over you." And who really wants that? Now, in due time, Abimelech has all the other sons of Gideon killed, except for one. And that one last brother comes to the people of Shechem and says, "Before you guys try to kill me on the same stone that you killed my brothers, I want to tell you a parable. The trees of the forest went looking for a king. And they went to the olive tree and said, 'Will you be our king?' And the olive tree refused to be their king because he said, 'I'm an olive tree. I'm not meant to be a king, just an olive tree.' And so they went to the palm tree and said, 'Well, will you be our king?' And he said, 'I'm a palm tree. I do what I do.' So they went to the vine and they said, 'Well, come on, at the very least, vine, will you be our king, please?' And the vine said, 'Why should I be your king when I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing? I'm a vine and I'm good at it and I do what I do.' So finally, the trees of the forest, they went to the bramble. They went to the sticker bush. And they said, 'We can't find anyone to be our king. And we're just down to the line. Will you please be our king?' And the sticker bush says, 'Absolutely, I'll be your king.' And the warning is, watch out. Because some people are exactly who they appear to be. Don't be shocked when a sticker bush pokes you. And the people of Shechem learned that the hard way. By the end of that story in Judges chapter 9, that city was absolutely obliterated because of its foolishness and the trust that it placed in a wicked man like Abimelech. Be very careful not to honor or trust, fear, or exalt man in a way that's inappropriate, because man will turn around and bite you. And the last point is this. We give too much honor to man when we allow man to influence us. Let's start here in Galatians chapter 1. And you'll notice here the way that the Apostle Paul talks about influence in Galatians chapter 1. How even a very, very good man can be influenced to do evil. Or like 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 33 puts it, don't let evil company corrupt your good morals. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10, notice what Paul says here. For am I now seeking the favor of men, or am I seeking the favor of God? Am I still striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I certainly wouldn't be a bondservant of Jesus Christ. I love the point that he's making is, who am I trying to impress here in this process? Who am I really trying to impress? I can't be impressing man. I'm doing it all wrong if that was the case. Now, he provides a case in point in chapter 2. We're introduced in chapter 2 to a little anecdote that he offers about Peter the Apostle, who, you know, to his credit, Peter the Apostle was a guy who tended to stick his foot in his mouth quite a bit, and here's just one case of it. I don't think that this was typical of Peter's life, but this was one story where Peter really, really dropped the ball here. There were some brethren that came. They were Jewish brethren. And Peter, the great apostle, Peter who at one point in Acts chapter 10 baptized Gentiles into the body of Christ, Peter was so ashamed of hanging around Gentile Christians that he acted aloof around them when any Jewish brothers or sisters were around. And notice the indictment of that behavior that Paul offers in chapter 2, verse 12. For prior to the coming of certain men from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he suddenly began to withdraw and hold himself aloof because he was fearing the party of the circumcision. And all the rest of the Jewish brethren joined him in his hypocrisy. Even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. Paul can't hardly stand it. He can't hardly understand why you would act this way. You know why? Because you let people influence you. Because you fear man more than you fear God. It was the same reason in John chapter 12, verse 42, that there were people who believed in Jesus Christ, but out of fear for the Pharisees, they would not confess him. And what a shame that is. Go back to the Old Testament, and I know that this is out of context, I get that, but I want to make one quick point from 2 Kings chapter 17. Look at just a phrase that's used here that's always left an impression on me. In 2 Kings chapter 17, notice what it says here in 2 Kings 17 and verse 15. And they rejected God's statutes and his covenant which he made with their fathers and his warnings with which he warned them. And they followed vanity, and they became vain. I've always liked that. When you follow vanity, what happens? When you follow vanity, you become vain. They went after other nations that surrounded them, concerning which the Lord had commanded them not to do like them. Verse 16, they forsook all the commandments of the Lord their God. They made for themselves molten images, even two calves. They made an Asherah and worshipped all the host of heaven and served Baal. And then in verse 17, as if idolatry was not bad enough, they made their sons and their daughters pass through the fire. And that's exactly what you think it is. That's exactly what you think it is. Burning babies on an altar. Burning babies on an altar. You know why? Because they allowed other people to influence them. And the Lord was angry with them, it says in verse 18. He was angry with them. Is you allow other people to influence you. Why? Because somebody's good looking? Because somebody's rich? Because somebody's charismatic and very influential? Because somebody has earthly authority or power? Why do you trust in man? Which brings us to our original scripture. Go back to Isaiah 2, and we'll bring our lesson to a close in this passage. Excuse me. I don't have coronavirus. In Isaiah chapter 2, and I know this is a longer passage, and I intentionally rushed through that last point so I had enough time to talk about Isaiah 2. In Isaiah 2, verse 11, all the way back in verse 11, let's read this together. It's a longer passage, but let's read it together. And ask yourself, why do I trust in man? Why do I fear this? Isaiah 2:11 says, "The proud look of man will be abased, embarrassed. The loftiness of man will be humbled, and the Lord alone will be exalted in that day. For the Lord of hosts will have a day of reckoning against everyone who is proud and lofty, against everybody who is lifted up, that he may be abased. It will be against all the cedars of Lebanon that are lofty and lifted up, against all the oaks of Bashan, against all the lofty mountains, against the hills that are lifted up, and against every high tower, against every fortified wall, against all the ships of Tarshish, against all the beautiful craft. And the pride of man will be humbled, and the loftiness of men will be abased. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day. Idols will completely vanish, and men will go hide in caves of the rocks and into the holes of the ground before the terror of the Lord, before the splendor of his majesty when he arises to make the earth tremble,
Verse 20, in that day men will cast away to the moles and the bats their idols of silver and their idols of gold, which they made for themselves to worship, in order to go into the caverns of the rocks and the clefts of the cliffs before the terror of the Lord and the splendor of his majesty when he arises to make the earth tremble. Stop regarding man, whose breath of life is in his nostrils. For why should he be esteemed? And on that day, when God comes to bring low those who are high and to abase those who are lofty, when God comes to take us all down a few notches and make us all even before the judgment seat of Christ, why do you trust in man and not in God? We're flesh and blood. Life passes as breath through our nostrils. And when your heart stops ticking and the breath stops passing, this body of yours is nothing but rot in the grave. Man cannot save you. Man cannot raise you up. Man cannot forgive you. Man cannot offer you grace. You know who can? You guessed it. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Because if you trust in the Lord, like Jeremiah 17 says, you'll be like a tree firmly planted by water, always green, always leafy, always bearing fruit, even when times are hard and everybody else around you is dying. The man who trusts in the Lord, he shall be sustained. If you're not a Christian here this morning, you really ought to be. Listen to the simple message of the gospel in Mark 16, verse 16. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. And I know there's a lot more to it than that, but the path to salvation really is as simple as that, my friends. Stop trusting a man, trust in the Lord, give your life over to him. Whatever spiritual need you have, please let it be known by coming forward as we stand and sing.